Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 27. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is our Friday focus. I hope that you'll be encouraged today as we turn to the Lord's Word. We're going to begin with a children's story on the lost coin, as told from the pulpit of our church.
Well, boys and girls, I brought something along that I thought might be of interest to you, and it is a silver coin. Now, it's a Canadian coin, it's a Canadian dollar, and it was minted in 1982, and it has a lady's head on the coin. Now, that's the Queen of England, who's also the Queen of Canada. Now, that there is a very special coin, and while it says on it that it is $1, I'm hoping one day it'll be worth much more, because that is what you call a collector's coin, and it should go up in value. As I go up in age, and probably go down in stature, this coin should be worth more and more. So I'm keeping it, and I just brought it along today to show you, because the story today is about a lady who lost one of her coins. She seems to be an average lady, and she had a total of 10 coins. They were silver coins. That was very valuable. Now, in those times, people didn't have banks, and they probably hid their money in their homes to keep it safe. And she would need that money to buy food, to buy seeds, to plant a new crop in the springtime. She would need that coin for clothes for her family and whatever other things might arise, savings for a rainy day. You know about that? You try to store up a little bit for a day of unsuspected need, and they can arise. Well, this lady was counting her coins, and as she went through them, she went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9? There should be 10. And she counted again, and she counted again, but there were only 9 coins. And so what did she do? She said, oh, it doesn't matter. Just put them back in there and forget about it. No way. She was anxious. She was fretting. Indeed, she was worried. And she began to sweep the house and said, I can't see into all the corners. And so she got a candle and she ensured that she looked in every little cranny and corner. She must find that coin. Now, the Lord Jesus told that story because there were certain Pharisees who were despising sinners. And Jesus, he was talking to sinners and receiving them. He was interested in them. And the Pharisees were despising these people and said, they're of no importance, of no value. Why even bother with them? But the Lord wanted to tell a story that would teach people the value of every single soul. After all, she had 10 coins, just one was lost. It would be much worse if 9 were lost and she only had one. You would see her being worried about that. But why worry if there are 9 still left? But she was worried. And she would take no rest, she would find no peace until she found that coin that was hers. And that teaches us the heart of the Lord. He values every single soul so much that the Lord is never at rest until he seeks and finds everyone for whom he died on the cross. Now that's the gospel. And that says this is a gospel story. It is about the value of a soul, but it's also about this anxious, caring love of the Lord, in contrast to the Pharisees who didn't care. Now, the value of the coin is seen in the great joy the woman had when she found it. Now, the story doesn't tell us where she found it or how it got lost. But after all her sweeping and looking and searching, she found it. And oh, what wonderful joy was in her heart as she went out the door and said to her neighbors and her friend, look, I found the coin. I have found the one that was lost. Come, rejoice with me. The woman was so happy, she couldn't keep it to herself. Have you ever had an experience like that? You were so happy you had to tell somebody. You'd picked up the phone and told your friends, hey, I got a new bicycle. That would make you happy, wouldn't it? Well, this woman was so happy, she had to tell everybody. Now, the story is really to demonstrate the happiness and the delight that the Lord has in saving even one soul, even one sinner, even you. Because there is this silly notion in every heart that the Lord doesn't want me. Why would the Lord be bothered about me? He's the creator of heaven and earth. There's 7 billion people in the world. Why would he even care about me? But he does. And if you are a lost soul, the Lord takes no rest until he finds each one for whom he died on that cross. And the Lord went on to tell, that this is now the spiritual heavenly application of the story, that there is joy in heaven among the angels over one sinner that repented. Now, repentance is a very powerful thing. Repentance is really a U-turn. Have you ever been in your car with your dad and you're driving down the road and you say, oh, I forgot something, I have to go back for my phone. And he does a U-turn right on the road. One moment he's going that way, and then he makes a U-turn, he's coming back again. That's what repentance is. It's a U-turn in your life. 1 hour you're going in the way of the broad road to destruction, but by grace you are turned around, and you are now on the narrow road that leads to heaven and eternal life. That's the power of repentance. And repentance is the secret ingredient to becoming a Christian. It's necessary. Unless you turn away from the world and sin and all those bad things, you can't be saved. But the moment you repent, the Lord rejoices, and the angels in heaven also rejoice. Now, repentance makes you to confess, I'm bad, but the Lord loves me enough to still save me. And it's a very wonderful, powerful thing. But the Pharisees didn't understand that. They thought they were good enough. They thought they had done everything right. They had stroked every T, dotted every I, and like they thought, and they thought they didn't need to turn around and change their lives or be saved. They were lost. They were the really lost people. Do you know anyone that has never repented from their sins? They're the lost people in this world. But those who were perhaps doing the wrong things, and the Lord has called them, they have repented, turned around, they're the saved. And the angels in heaven rejoice. I wonder, have you ever repented and turned around from the ways of the world to become a Christian? What a great reunion there's going to be in heaven for every repentant, saved, born-again soul. And that can be you. Did you know the Bible says that the day of our death is better than the day of our birth? We don't feel like that, do we? When a new baby comes into our homes, oh, it's so great. But when someone dies, it seems terrible. But if you're a Christian, there's rejoicing in heaven. If that person repented, trust the Lord Jesus, they will be rejoicing in heaven forevermore. Boys and girls, on this Children's Day, I pray that there will be a U-turn, a repentance in your heart, and you will know this Savior too.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is our Friday Focus. In the news this week, it looks like the pandemic is not nearly over. With a spike in COVID-19 cases in many U.S. states, as well as in Quebec and Ontario, we begin to realize the long-term battle we're in to see this pandemic brought to an end. Indeed, we have to confess that it will not be done by man's power and wisdom alone. I'm amazed at the conflicting measures proposed and the failure of many things that have been tried to turn this pandemic around. The balance between implementing cautions to fight the pandemic and opening up the economy is a nigh impossible task. I believe God is driving us to our knees. He would remind puny man that we are not in control. Our times are in his hands. It has been bitterly grievous to witness the pride of man during this pandemic. The hostility of men against their fellow men shows no humility. We need to pray for God to give a true, genuine heart repentance to men and women in Canada and around the world. This is a time for Christians to seek the Lord. It is a time to search the Bible to learn what the Lord would have us to do. We need to realize that Satan is very busy and will fight ferociously to work confusion and rebellion in society. Sadly, we do not see any rise of interest in people seeking God. We do not see Bible reading on the increase. Rather, it is the television with all the wretchedness of Hollywood's stench that is filling the gap and filling people's minds. Would you please join me in prayer to cry out to God for His grace to turn our nation again to the gospel? Pray for the Word of God to fall on good ground and for it to be received with understanding. What other hope is there for blinded sinners to be saved? There are no man-made answers, no political answers to this pandemic. We need a revival, a real, genuine, back-to-the-Bible reformation that will get people back standing on the Ten Commandments, the life and death of Christ as the Savior of the world, and back to souls fleeing from hell and the wrath to come, to live in the hope and blessed assurance of heaven. Join with me as we pray for that very help of heaven. O God, in grace we call upon Thee today to have great mercy. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that Thou wilt intervene in this dreadful pandemic that has befallen our land and so many nations in the world. Lord, remember the suffering. Remember those that are fighting this very virus at this time, some who are fighting for their lives, for doctors and nurses and all who are involved in caring for people with this COVID-19. Father, we ask for your mercy to turn nations, to turn hearts back again to thyself. Surely, O God, thy voice is loud and clear. It is time to turn away from sin and to seek righteousness. And I pray that you will, by your Spirit, call men to true repentance and to true faith in the Lord Jesus. We ask that you will be gracious to the work of the gospel. May the seed be sown far and wide, and may it fall upon good ground to bring glory to the name of our Lord Jesus. We do ask thee, O God, to intervene in mercy, and in thy great grace and tenderness. We ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus.
My heart has been cleansed by thy grace. I rejoice that the God of creation would die on the cross in my place. Oh, how could a sinner unworthy of love find a place in thy heart?
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We have time just for a short message today, and we're turning to Isaiah chapter 46, verses 5 and 6. The Lord says, "To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship." Now, this is the worship of idolatry. But the Lord calls us to trust in him. He says, "To whom will ye liken me and make me equal?" God will have no other god to compete with him. It would be a lie. To worship an idol is to worship the false and the phony, because there is but one only living and true God. it is absolutely logically impossible that there can be two equal gods. God alone is God. He is that divine person. And for someone to be divine or to have deity, he needs to have all the characteristics that make him equal with God. But when you compare these idols, these gods of the heathen that are made from gold and silver, they are totally powerless. And that's what the Lord brings out here in Isaiah 46, verse 7. It says, they bear him the shoulder and they carry him. They set him in his place and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, or one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. These idols are the figment of men's imaginations. They have to be fashioned out of wood or metal, formed in molds. Then they have to be carried to be set up in place, but they cannot move. They have ears, but they cannot hear, eyes and cannot see. They have lips, but they cannot speak. And thus they are a lie. Compare that to the Creator of the universe, who has created everything in 6 days. He spoke everything into existence and holds it by the word of his power. The Lord Jesus himself, he is God because he was able to speak the word so that the sea and the wind were calm. And they asked, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him? The God of heaven speaks, hears, sees, and is able to move the world to help his people. There are a couple of other reasons that are given here in this passage, and one is that God is the God of history. And he says, remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember former things of old. For I am God. God is the God of history. He's the God who created the world. He is the God who brought about the flood in the days of Noah. He is the God who preserved his people in Egypt for 400 years, brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, fed them in the wilderness. He's the God that planted Israel in the promised land. He's the God of history. He is the God of kings upon kings whom God blessed and guided. And so when we think of the true and the living God, he has a history that we can trace his paths and his might. We are not to erase history, but to rest in the God of history. Also, he is the God of prophecy. And in verses 10 and 11 of this chapter, it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet come, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Remember Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the image? Remember the head of gold that Daniel prophesied with the mark of the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar, and he said to him, thou art that head of gold. Then the image had a breast and arms of silver, and it was interpreted to be the mark of the Medes and the Persians. Then the image had a belly and thighs of brass, and that was the Greek Empire under the conqueror Alexander. The legs and feet were part iron and part clay, and that spoke of the Roman Empire with 10 toes or kingdoms. And we read there that God is the God of prophecy. He, to the very minute details of nation after nation that would rise and fall, God is the giver of authority. He lifts up and he pulls down. And so we don't trust in idols, but we trust in the Lord because he is
the God of truth, and he is the God of power. I wonder who is your God today, that when you bow your knee in prayer, whose name do you use? What name is upon your lips as you pray? Is it the name of some idol? Are you referring to an image of stone or wood or metal, gold or silver? Are you referring to some charm? Who is your God? Well, you are called upon to trust alone in the Lord Jehovah. Now, remember what I said last week. Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is Jehovah Jesus. And of course, I point you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy of our confidence for salvation. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you are not a Christian, that is, if you have never bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus and asked him into your heart to save your soul, then it is time to seek the Lord. It is time that you called upon the Lord Jesus to be your own personal Savior and Lord. If I can be of personal help, feel free to give me a call, send me an email. I'll be delighted to take time with you and open the Bible. We can read the scriptures, talk about your need and how you may call on the Lord to be your Redeemer and Savior. There are those precious verses in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. May God in his great grace draw near to you and bless you richly. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.